I don't know. One of these days, I'm just going to get up and go out with the rest of them. What do you think? See what goes on downstairs? They take them down and teach Bible verses and tell them about the Lord. That's what they do downstairs. I've been told pretty plain. And so, good to see everybody. Glad you're here. Is my mic on, Jake? Yeah, I believe it is. I think it's on. Okay. Take just a little bit of time this morning to tell you about an experience I run up on this week. We had a revival over in the valley, Long Island Baptist Church, and we had a good time over there. Things went well. God really blessed us, but something happened to me that never happened in church service before. You know, I thought I'd about seen it all and experienced everything. You know, thought. But something happened to me over there that I'd never in my life saw happen before. We had a song service and a preaching service. Preachers and done. The pastor, he is just in the spirit. Now, he got fired up, you know, Pastor David. He is all fired up. And he is all excited about this. And he come down from behind the pulpit and come down here and started picking at the flowers in the front. He just grabbing, and a flower arrangement was sitting there, and he just grabbed and he jerked. And I thought, there must be a snake or something in that thing. I didn't know what he was doing, you know. He finally decided he couldn't get a flower out of that flower arrangement. He jerked and he snatched and he wiggled them. And so he picked that whole bouquet up and brought it back there and set it in my lap. First bouquet I ever got in my life. Praise the Lord. I'm talking about, I guess I was shocked just a little bit. You know, especially a man giving me a bouquet. You know, I was kind of sitting there and I was kind of dazed by it, you know, wondering what went on. And he had done it all in the Spirit of the Lord, I know. But he's sitting there, Tim was sitting with me, and he kind of ducked his head. I thought he was going to move off the bench, you know. I'm sitting there. I don't mean a bouquet this size. I mean one this big and that tall. And I'm sitting there holding that thing, thinking, well, okay. You know, his daddy's told him one time, he said, give the flowers before they die. And he said, it just struck me, that's what I need to do. So I had a whole bouquet sitting there in my lap, you know. And I'm kind of sitting there thinking, well, okay. And it just went on, and he's closing the service out. And he said, has anybody got anything to say? And I reckon the Lord moved on me too. You know how he stirs me sometimes. And I don't know if this was fully the Spirit of God or not, but I did get up and say it. I got up and I said, well, thank God he takes care of his people. Y'all didn't understand it, but me and my wife celebrating an anniversary and I was trying to get her flowers, I got them. Praise the Lord. So I took them up and gave them to Joan, you know. God supplies. I'm telling you, God supplies for his children. So we had the best time. We laughed so hard. Sam Whited, I don't know, y'all probably don't know Sam Whited, but he's a serious preacher. I mean, talked about pastored all his life. And he said, the man laughed till he couldn't get his breath. I thought he was going down on us. I thought, we're going to have to bury him tomorrow. But we had a good time with that. And I believe God intends for us to have a good time in church and let God work. He supplied that need. I got flowers for my wife. Found out the next day they was having a dinner. Their youth was, so I got her dinner for her. Praise God. And we got there the next day, and they had made us a cake. So they took care of all of her need. Flowers, dinner, and a cake. What else would you want for anniversary? Hey, I said God supplies. I didn't say Jim supplied. I never mentioned my name. I didn't say one time I did anything. But God supplies your needs. And so we're going to look to a few verses of Scripture this morning. But I've had this thought in mind all morning. You know, I've been around here a pretty good while. And I look out and I know a lot of people. I don't know exactly everybody real well. But I think I've been here long enough and know most of you long enough that I can share something personal with you. You know, that's when you open your heart and talk to people. Something personal. We went over to revival meeting on Monday night and had a good meeting over there. Things went well. And when we got home that night, we had a note laying on our doorstep. Just a little, small
handwritten note, folded one time. And when I got in, read the note, just a little short note, but it was a powerful message from God. I don't know who did it. They didn't sign it. I don't care who did it. But it was just a note to encourage, uplift, and help me step up in the job as pastor. Don't sound like much to some of y'all, but there's times, you know, it means the whole world. And like I said, I don't know who did it. Don't matter. As far as I'm concerned, God did it. It couldn't have been any more powerful if God wrote it himself. Just encouragement, strength, and relating that I do matter and make a difference. And that little note meant the world to me. And God bless whoever did it. Don't know. Don't have to know. But thank God for it. And I thought, the way that uplifted me, and the way that strengthened me, you know, and the way it excited me in a way that it made a difference in my life, I thought, I wish everybody in the church had got a note just like that. And then I thought, well, I'm pastor. I got the pulpit. I'd give them one. I didn't write it down, but I think God's got a note for you this morning that you are important and you do matter, and he's going to encourage you. Let's look at the book of 2 Peter chapter 1. Y'all be turning there with me, 2 Peter chapter 1. We're going to talk about encouragement. I've got three things in mind to preach this morning. And that's encouragement, encouragement, and encouragement. Y'all got that? Three things I want to preach, and it's all encouragement, encouragement, encouragement. We live in a world and time, this day and time, that if ever before in creation, in all the times of the church, if there's a need for a church to be encouraging to its members and to its younger couple, this is it. I'm telling you, there's a great need. I mean, they get discouraged every day. You get discouraged by things of the world. You get discouraged by things at work. You get discouraged by things of your family. And so I see the need for our church to be a place of encouragement each and every time people come, that they ought to be uplifted and encouraged. We're going to use some words from 2 Peter. I want you to know when I read this, this goes without saying, this is the same Peter. Now you think about this. This is the same Peter that cut the guard's ear off. Amen. Took his sword and cut the guard's ear off. Jesus put it back. This is the same Peter that got out of the boat and walked on the water and started to sink. And this is also the same Peter that denied Christ three times. And so now if he's qualified to encourage somebody, why aren't we encouraging somebody? He's not disqualified because he denied Christ. If you read on through the scriptures, you'll find Acts chapter 2 and verse 4, when Peter received the gift of the Holy Ghost, everything in his life changed. He became an encourager to everybody around him. He knew the situation they were facing. They were persecuted on every side. I mean, you know, the Roman government persecuting Christians, everybody else persecuting Christians, even the Jews persecuting Christians. And the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the high priests, they were all against the Christian movement. Sounds kind of like today, don't it? Sounds kind of like the time we're in, that everybody's against us, but God is for us. I want to encourage you in that. It don't matter who's against you, as long as God's for you, he'll win it. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 12 and 13, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 12 and 13, wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I'm in this tabernacle, to stir you up by the putting you in remembrance. So, as we start into this, I want you to see what Peter's saying. He's wanting to stir somebody up. He's wanting somebody to get a little bit excited. He's wanting somebody to be encouraged. He's wanting somebody to know that, yes, they do make a difference. And so, what's he going to use? He's going to use this Word of God. He's going to use the past. He's going to use the present. And he's going to use the future to remind them of what God has told his children.
shoulder. And you talk about encouraging when you get in the Word of God and know what God has done in your life and what God has promised to do, I'm telling you, you can be encouraged. Nothing else needed. This Word of God is effective to take care of that. And so when we start talking about it, he said, I want to stir you up by way of remembrance. And when he used this word, I can think and understand fully that there's times he said, I want you to remember the time that God saved you. I want you to remember the time that God took care of you, that he lifted you up, that he lifted you and brought you out of a situation when you couldn't help yourself. God showed up. Now, I told you, I know a lot of people in this church, and I could go through situation by situation and tell you the time that if God hadn't showed up, you wouldn't have made it. That child would have died in a wreck. Amen. But God showed up for you. And I want you to remember those things when we start talking about encouragement. You remember what God has done for you. When man couldn't, God did. When family couldn't, God did. God done something for you this morning. I want you to remember it. I want you to be a little stirred up in that fact. I want you to have that spirit and power of God just bubbling inside you saying, I remember when God helped me. Car wrecks, sicknesses, cancer, heart problems. I could go down the list just about and give you every one of you here that situation in your life. Burying loved ones, burying husbands. It's hard to get through. God helps you in these things. And so Peter used past. He used past to remind somebody. By the way, God did something for me. Now, he said he wanted to put them in remembrance, and that's where I'm at today. I hope somebody gets stirred up in the Word of God, knowing that God has done something for you that you couldn't do for yourself. If nothing less than salvation by the grace of God through the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. Ain't nobody could save themselves. Jesus had to do it. God had to set it up. And so he starts reminding them of past things that's happened. In the chapter 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 1. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. He's talking to the Christians, folks. Now, when we start talking about encouraging, you know, you're telling me, well, we need to encourage those that are lost. We need to encourage. Peter said, those of precious faith that's like us. He's talking to Christians. And now, when we start talking about encouragement, we need to encourage Christians. We need to encourage brothers and sisters in Christ and let them know that, yes, we need to be uplifted and strengthened. So, when he goes back in verse 2, he said, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power had given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that had called us to glory and virtue, whereby we are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be takers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. So he told them, I want you to remember the past. Now he's saying, I want you to remember the future, or the present, excuse me. He said, I want you to think about the present and where you're at now. He said that we have escaped the corruption that is in this world through lust. So God has done something for us in the present day too. In the past, God did something. In the present, God's doing something. He delivered you from the corruption that's in the world through lust. Praise God, you're a delivered people this morning. Everybody here, you've been delivered from that worldly corruption that goes on all around us. So you can rejoice and understand and be encouraged by the fact that, praise God, you're out of it. If you've trusted God, if you're His child, then you have escaped that divine or sinful nature. You're in the divine nature. So God, here Peter, he's using this word of God. He said, remember what God's done in the past. Remember what God's done in the present. Let's talk about the future. Ooh, that gets good, don't it? In 1 Peter, turn there with me. 1 Peter. Let me find it. 1 Peter chapter 1. We're talking about past. To encourage you.
We're talking about present to encourage you. And we're going to talk about future to encourage you. God just told me to preach three things. That's encouragement, encouragement, and encouragement. That note did so much for me, I thought I wish everybody had it. Encouragement. Encouragement. That's what it's about. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through the sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience and the sprinkling of blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Peace be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Y'all got that one? That has recovered us again by a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And so now Peter's used past, he's used present, and now he's used future when he starts talking about the resurrection. You want to get encouraged in life? Know that things are going to get better for every Christian that sits here under the sound of my voice. Things will get better. You may be going through hard times and situations in life you don't understand, but we've got the power and the promise of God about the resurrection, that we're going to come forth out of the grave. Either that or at the second coming of Jesus, he's going to take us out as his church. And so you want to encourage, you start understanding and believing what God's going to do. Praise God, he's going to take us out of here one day, one way or the other, by the grave or the resurrection. I don't really care which. But it's good to know, and it encourages me that know that whatever's going wrong today won't be wrong then. Woo! Glory! That's what we'll be shouting that day he brings us out. And you talk about encouraged forevermore. Something that won't stop when you leave the doors of this house. Something that'll be with you from now on. I want to encourage you through this word of God. And first of all, I think when we get encouraged, first of all, we need to know is we matter. That little note had a little place right down to the bottom, and it said you make a difference. Well, you know, that's one thing in life that I've tried to grasp and accomplish that. And I'll be plain with you that one day when I'm laid out, you know, that time you come by in view, you know, that day comes to all of us unless the Lord takes us out. And my hope is that somebody will walk by viewing or whatever they want to do and say, he made a difference. And I don't mean just to say it, I mean to mean it. Can walk by and say, he made a difference in my life. I can point you back to the time. And then after that, when I meet Jesus, I want to hear Jesus say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Now you talk about encouraging and motivating, wanting to make a difference. Well, one of the biggest things that I saw in this life and time, this power that God allows Satan to have, he uses us that against us to tell us that you don't make a difference. You know, there's times that I've talked to people in church and say, I'm no more than a number on the board. You know, I don't care if we ever had a number board or not. It wouldn't matter to me, because that's what the devil will tell you. Well, I want to tell you that God says you make a difference. Everybody matters. Everybody makes a difference. Everybody's got a part. Everybody's got a path. And everybody's got a purpose. Amen. You think you ain't blessed of God? Jesus said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. To do that, he has to know where you're at. He's with you. The scripture says not a sparrow falls that God don't know. And how much more are you worth than a sparrow? God knows your ups. God knows your downs. Everybody here makes a difference. I used to go to my grandparents' house a lot in the wintertime, and it's too bad to get outside. They'd sit and work puzzles. I've told you this before, and I want you to hear it this time. They'd sit there and work puzzles. You know, sometimes it'd be a 500-piece puzzle. Sometimes it'd be a 1,000-piece puzzle. And they'd sit and they'd put all these pieces together and put everything pieces together. And when they finished this work of putting these pieces together, they had a beautiful picture. I'm talking about a beautiful picture. And, you know, I see that as our service to God this day and time. I see that as our church, that we're all individual pieces. That puzzle
when they worked that puzzle, I learned real quick that if it wasn't the right piece, it wouldn't fit. And every piece was different. Every piece was individual, just like all these pieces in this church right here today. You're all individual. You're all different. You know, you hear that old saying, well, they broke the mold when they made him. Amen. Praise God, that's right. He broke the mold when he made all of us, because there's nobody alike. Everybody's different. You got it right. They broke the mold when he made you, Tommy, and you, Charlotte, and you, Tim, and Melvin. They broke the mold. Most everybody agree on Melvin. I just had to do it. God help me, I just had to do it. I couldn't stand it. I just couldn't stand myself any longer. I've been good as long as I can. But we're talking about this puzzle making up a beautiful picture. Everybody is like an individual piece. Everybody's got a part to play. Everybody makes part of that picture. And so I want you to also understand this, that your part, when you're not here, that picture is incomplete. It's incomplete because you've got a part in it. And when I think about, you know, what the devil will tell you that you don't matter, I'm telling you, let's just offset that a little bit right now. I'm going to tell you something. I want everybody here to know, Eddie, you matter. Praise God, you matter. Shake my hand. Amen. No, I can't get to everybody. I tell you, everybody get on your feet and fall out in the highway. Shake somebody's hand. Tell them they matter this morning. Tell them they make a difference. They do matter to God. They do matter. Come on, get up. Praise the Lord. Let somebody know they make a difference in your life. Glory be to God. Y'all matter, every one of you. Special pieces. Individual pieces. You matter. You make a difference.
You do make a difference.
Amen. Amen. Now, does everybody here know that you make a difference and you matter? Amen. Nobody can leave here and say, I don't matter. I don't make a difference. The only way that you don't make a difference or matter in this church and this congregation is if you're not saved by the cause of Christ, by Him hanging on the cross of Calvary. If you're lost, you're not in this group I'm talking to. But I want to talk to you. Jesus said, and if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. And I feel that drawing power in this church right now, that God's drawing and pulling somebody saying, you need a Savior. You need a Savior. You need to be part of this people that truly matter. You matter to God. He loved you enough to let Jesus die for you, His Son die on the cross of Calvary, that you could have that salvation and that promise of eternal life. I tell you, when I leave here today, I know where I'm going. I'm going to start at home, but I'm going to heaven one day. And I hope everybody here can say that I'm going to heaven one day. I was going to preach from the book of Nehemiah about one person making a difference, but I think I'm going to let that go. I think God's speaking to somebody's heart. You ever heard that call of God? I think about when Elijah heard the call of God. He's up on the mountain. He said it wasn't in the wind. And it wasn't in the earthquake. It wasn't in the fire. It was that still, small voice that spoke to Elijah. And that same voice, I believe, speaking to somebody today that they need to get something right with God. Either shore up their salvation, receive their salvation, or maybe just confess their salvation. See, I can't know your heart. I can't know your mind, but God knows everybody here. Heart, mind, and soul. He knows what you're about. He knows what you're going to do today. He knows what you'll do next week and for an eternity. And it's your choice today that you could make, that you're going to say, I'm going to come. I'm going to receive Jesus Christ as my Savior. Let's have a verse of song, Greg. Anybody that needs to come, y'all just be coming on up. Just be coming on up. If you need to pray, you come on up. Individual pieces. We're going to make a great picture one of these days. I'm going to tell you, I don't believe we got all the pieces here yet. I believe God's going to send new people in to help in this picture. I believe that. I don't think God's done at New Salem Baptist Church. If I thought He is done, I'd be done. You know, I'm that picky. If God's ain't in it, I don't want it. That's the way it is. But I believe God's in this thing, and I believe there's new pieces to add. And I've thought about it a lot through this week. Have you put your piece in place for this puzzle? Have you helped make this picture that God's painting of this church? Every piece is individual. And you need to decide today, okay, is that where I belong? Is that what I need to do? You know, if God's moving on you to join the church, you've got a piece of this picture. And you need to move it. You need to play it. You need to put it in place where it'll be. Listen to God. Don't listen to everybody around you and what everybody says. If God's motivated you to be part and member of this church, you need to get after it. You need to do it. And you're saying, well, we've had a lot of people join us. I don't care how many you had join. None of those pieces will fit where you've got to fit, where you've got to be. Your piece needs put in the puzzle to finish this picture. You want to sing a verse of song? Somebody need to be coming this way. A couple of ladies that come, and she can't stand up here in the front. We've set her down over here. She's not able to stand. She barely can't see. But she's got a vision of what she needs to do. You hear it? She said she was here 20-something years ago, and she said she wanted to come back home. And they've got a membership, Trenton First Baptist with their membership. And they've come and wanted to make a statement by letter to join this church. Do I hear a move in second to accept them as candidate for this church? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Say it real loud. She don't hear good.
Aye.
Amen. We want her to hear every bit of it. And so we'll send for their letters, and we accept them as members of this church. That's how you get to church. If you got a letter to another church, you move it. If you don't have a letter, never had a letter, you get baptized. If you've been baptized but still don't have a letter from a church, you make a statement of your faith and belief in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and your desire to join the church, and we receive members by statement also. So you can come by letter, baptism, in some circumstances by statement. So if God's moved you to join this church, you know this is what you need to be doing. Amen.